So many people talking about the Christian faith today. And you can find all kinds of different versions. That's sad. I want to talk to you this morning about the reason we live. You see, I'm not so much of a person, I don't want on my tombstone for it to say, here lies a religious person. You realize you can be religious about a lot of things. Baseball, football, I think we've got some of those strange people in our congregation, hockey. So I don't understand, to me, hockey is how you box on ice skates. Other than that, I'm lost. But you can be religious about a lot of things. I want to talk to you about faith this morning. The reason we live. Woman, why are you crying? That's what the two angels said to Mary Magdalene. Perhaps you and I need to ask that same question of ourselves this morning. Because deep down inside, or perhaps for some of us right on the very surface, many of us, and maybe way too many of us, are crying. The world is full of tears. It's full of heartaches. Have you ever felt a heartache? I used to just think that was some old timers saying. It was an old geezer saying. My kids now tell me I've reached the point of being an old geezer. I don't even know what that means anymore. But I have to tell you, on a couple of occasions in my life, I've actually felt so broken to the point where it ached. I mean, really deep inside hurt. Perhaps your heart is aching this morning. Perhaps you are going through a terribly tumultuous time in your life. You know, maybe your marriage is on the rocks. Maybe your job is in jeopardy. Maybe you don't have a job. Perhaps your children are rebelling against, well, everything. And you're hurting. You're hurting beyond measure. There is only one cure for the heartache. There is only one way. There is only one way, and it's all about submission. Giving everything you have, all your heartaches, all your worries, all your fears, giving them to the only one who can truly be trusted with them. And that is the resurrected Jesus Christ, the Lord of Lords, the lover of your soul. God is so good. God's love knows no bounds. Friends, even when we make mistakes, hurting others and perhaps hurting ourselves, Jesus is there with us, and that is the reason we live. It's the only way we can make it through. I remember a few years ago, a dear friend who I pastored years ago and stayed in contact all those years was diagnosed with terminal cancer. She was a sweet, godly woman. The doctor was concerned. He was especially concerned because the dear woman now had no relatives. She had no husband, no children to take care of her. And the doctor asked her, will you be all right all alone? And there she sat. And all of a sudden, she got that strength that you know those older ladies have. You got a problem, send an army of older ladies out in front of you. Nothing can stand. Nothing. And she sat straight up and she looked the doctor square in the eyes with that utmost confidence and faith and assurance. She replied, Jesus is with me. I'm not alone. Jesus is with me, I will be all right. She ended up spending her last days living at a friend's house. She was surrounded by brothers and sisters in Christ, not blood brothers and sisters, but spiritual brothers and sisters. She was indeed surrounded by the love and the presence of Jesus himself. My friends, we all need Jesus. We all need the community of faith. We were not created to be alone. God did not create us to be hermits. And God knows just about all of our needs. No matter what you're going to remember and keep remembering, write it down if you have to and put it in your pocket or in your purse. The risen Christ is with you always. This is the reason we live. It's the only reason. It's the only way. And oh, what Christ has done in order to let us know how much he loves us, what he has done, today is Easter. There is no other faith out there where their sovereign took the sins of the people that he loved and took it upon his body, put to a cross, gave up his life, died, buried, went to hell, come back, walked out that tomb door, victorious over death, hell, and the grave. Every other one who proclaims anything is dead and rotting in the ground, but only Jesus is alive and risen. Amen? It's a beautiful day. It's a day of rejoicing. It's a day of celebration. But we have read moments ago from the gospel. It did not start out as a day of exhilaration, but as a day of sadness, of heartache for the disciples and the woman surrounding Jesus' life and the end of Jesus' life. It was a day of confusion. Where has his dead body gone? The picture starts before dawn with Mary Magdalene. She's going to the tomb and she finds the stone which had been well placed over the entrance now rolled away. Who could have the strength to move it? Where have the grave robbers gone? What do they know? Have they been here? Have they stolen the poor, beaten, crucified body? Mary didn't know. She wasn't sure of anything. Remember, it's still dark. Literally and figuratively. And she ran away to tell Peter, not about the resurrection yet, but about a robbery of a tomb. They've taken the Lord out of the tomb, she grasped, and we don't know where they've put him. Talk about a horrible situation getting worse by the moment. Where is he? How could they have done such a thing? Mary Magdalene was in such a state. She had been robbed of her Lord, the very man who had convinced her of her being free from her sins. Chances are, he's probably the only man who'd given her something and not taken away something from her. So Simon Peter came running, and John writes that he came running too. They didn't believe the woman. I know, wives, us husbands don't listen. Behaves in the way. We're told we have selective hearing. Come on, ladies, you know it. Didn't matter. A woman told them. What did a woman know? And so they're running to the tomb. They got to find out for themselves. And yes, the body was gone. The linens were laying there nicely folded. They saw it for themselves. How terrible it was. How terrible the feelings we might feel right now. The pain and the heartache that many feel. Poor Mary is still weeping could this really be happening? Could things really be this bad? Have you ever felt that way? How many of us find ourselves standing outside the tomb of our lives, weeping, feeling all alone, betrayed by the world, and no hope? I'll admit, I have. And it was then that Mary saw the two angels in white, seated where Jesus' body was, one at the head and another at the foot. And sensing someone was behind her, Mary turned around and saw Jesus standing there. She didn't realize it was Jesus. How often do we not realize that Jesus is right here with us all the time? Woman, Jesus said, why are you crying? And who are you looking for? Thinking he was the gardener, she said, sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have put him and I'll get him. And Jesus just looked at her and said, Mary. And as soon as Jesus called her name, she knew it was him. I have a question for you this morning. Have you heard Jesus calling your name? Have you been listening? Or better yet, here's another call. Are you listening now? You know, for all her searching, it wasn't really Mary Magdalene who found the risen Christ. It was Christ who found Mary. When God found me, I wasn't even looking for him. I'd given up. I'd walked away from the church. Matter of fact, I'll be honest with you, I wasn't quite sure I wanted to be found. I was mad. None of you have ever been there. I was mad at the church and everybody in it. None of you have ever felt those things. Okay, maybe one or two. But it was only as I surrendered my whole self to him and my life began to be transformed and the heartache began to subside that I realized how glad I was that he died for me, that he rose from the dead for me, that he didn't stop there. He searched me out until he found me. Oh, I am here, declares the risen Christ. I stand at the door and knock, and if anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with him. That's the promise we can count on. Perhaps it's the only promise we can truly count on. Do you hear the risen Christ knocking at your door this morning? Do you hear the risen Christ calling your name and asking to come in and live with you? This is how it works. As we are told, it is God who first loves us, not the other way around. It's Christ, the only good shepherd, who goes after the lost sheep and finds them. Or how about the parable of the lost coin? It is Christ who lights a lamp, sweeps the house, and searches carefully until he finds it. You and I are the lost sheep. We are the lost coin. Are we willing to allow ourselves to be found? Although Mary was seeking Christ with her whole being, she was seeking a dead Christ, not a resurrected Christ. And that is the way it is often with all of us. We're seeking some historical figure. We're seeking something we've read in the book. Sluggishly and bravely, we might accept some future for ourselves that doesn't look so bright. And this is when we see it all. Yet God sees it and is very close and is calling us to a new life. He is calling us to something for which we can truly live. Remember how Jesus described the kingdom of heaven? He said it was like a hidden treasure in the field. When a man found it, he hid it again, and then in his joy went and sold all he had and bought the field. My friend, the resurrection of Jesus Christ is our treasure. Are we willing to get rid of all the other garbage in our lives in order to have it for ourselves? Recently, a colleague of mine told me about a member in his church years ago. And this is a heart-wrenching story. That member had a woman who had a daughter in his church. And a horrible situation came up, and he was called to the hospital. And the mother had taken the daughter to the hospital for an abortion. This story's long and complicated, and I'm not going into that. But he said he talked and prayed with them long into the night. And they were convinced that this was the only thing they could do under terrible circumstances. So it was done. And afterwards, the mother called my friend and said, "I don't think I can come back to church. I'm filthy. I'm too filthy. I'm way too filthy to appear before the altar of God. Too ashamed. Too heartbroken over what's happened." My friend talked to this woman and talked to her about God's forgiveness. She wept. He wept. And somehow in the middle of that, God was there. In his healing and his resurrected presence, he was there to bless and heal that mother and that daughter all in the same time. My friend says that years, many years had passed, and life had gone on, and he'd even moved. And he had the chance encounter at a Nazarene district assembly of meeting the mother and daughter again. There was the daughter, now seeking ordination, looking for a way to finish her education and get that degree. The daughter and the mother were whole. The daughter had found peace and forgiveness in Christ and now had several children and a family of her own. God was there. Just like Mary found out, not at first, but at last, and for real. Our treasure is Easter. It's yours, it's mine. It is for us to acknowledge and praise God forever and ever. Easter really belongs to us, doesn't it? It doesn't belong to a bunch of little yellow chicks that are really marshmallows that you can buy at the store, 5 for a buck. I got a little lady around here that I don't watch out. She's putting chicks and eggs all over the place. That's not what we are. That's not what we celebrate. We celebrate the resurrection. The cross that we come is empty. The tomb is empty. It's Christ. It is the ultimate gift of God. It is the gift of God outright in the middle of our tears, our filthy sins, and our arrogance of him and all the rest. Right when we think he's been snatched away, he speaks to us, calls us by name. He is the only reason we live. Let's remember this, not just today, but tomorrow, next week, when you're at work, when you go back to school, when you're playing, when things are going good, and when things are not going so good. Jesus is the only reason. Jesus died and is alive forevermore. He is with us. He is for us. God is good. Death, sin, and guilt need not have the final say. Thanks be to God for his glorious work, for he is the risen, the reason that we live this morning. Amen?
Amen.
Stand your feet.